In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. And I greet you on this beautiful, glorious feast where we celebrate one of our greatest saints of the church in the person of Saint Nicholas the Wonder Worker, the Bishop of Myra in the region of Lycia, lived in the early 300s. Now, as a child, Nicholas was filled with a love of God, a love for Jesus Christ. He had a desire to immerse himself in the gospel, the scriptures, from a very young age, as soon as he could read, as soon as he could listen to stories. And even in infancy, there was a recognizable joy for Christ in this little boy. Now, Nicholas's parents were wealthy, and when he inherited that wealth, he began to give it all away. He realized that the physical goods in this world were not satisfying, were not what the human spirit really desires. The human spirit at its core desires the love of God, the unity with God. The human spirit is empty without these things, without the love of God. And of course, from that love of God and that unity with God, we also find at our core the desire for love and unity with our fellow humans in whom we see the image and likeness of God. So Nicholas gave away all his wealth that he inherited, all his goods. Eventually he becomes a monk. He gets ordained first a deacon, then a priest, and subsequently he is elected and consecrated bishop of his church in the city of Myra. Now, in the gospel reading selected for the feast of Saint Nicholas, we hear Jesus speaking about the good shepherd. In the passage, Jesus is, of course, speaking about himself. He's speaking about himself, saying, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I call them by name. I care for them. I protect them from the wolves and from the thieves and from the robbers. I lead them to pasture where they can feast on the green grass. And of course, Jesus is saying that about himself, but the church takes this passage about the good shepherd and applies it to our bishop saint, to Saint Nicholas, because the church sees that Nicholas walked in the path of Christ, the good shepherd. He walked in that path by caring for his flock. He walked in that path by protecting his flock and by nurturing everyone that God brought his way, caring for the lives entrusted to him. And not only the flock in the time that he lived, but through his intercessions before the throne of God and through his countless miracles that extended beyond the grave, miracles that continue to this day, Nicholas is a shepherd to us, to the whole church, over time and over geography. A couple of examples of his life as the good shepherd are worth reviewing this morning. Perhaps the most famous story from Nicholas's life concerns a father who was widowed. The mother had passed away, and he had three daughters that he raised by himself. And they were impoverished, and the daughters had reached the age of marriage, and they had nothing. They had nothing. They were hungry. They were ill-clothed. They relied on the handouts of others, of donors, whoever might happen to give them handouts. I suppose when times were good for others, maybe they ate better as people were more generous. And when times got tough for others, they got even tougher for those that begged. Well, at one point, the situation got so bad that the father was considering turning his three daughters over to how shall I say, ill-advised work, to be polite. Ill-advised work, in order not to die. I mean, the choice was between starvation, literally, and an immoral way of life. Now, Nicholas heard about his predicament, and so he filled three stockings with gold coins, tied off the tops, and threw them through the family's window at night. You know, windows in those days didn't have any glass in them unless you were extremely wealthy. Windows were just open, maybe had shutters if you were lucky. So he threw these socks, filled socks, in through the windows, and he did it at night because he didn't want the credit. He wanted God to have the credit. He wasn't interested in credit. He was simply interested in loving, interested in serving. Freely Nicholas had received, and so freely he was going to give. Now, with the coins, the father was not only able to buy food, but he was able to provide dowries so these young women could be married, which in that society was the one way a woman could have a respectable and stable life in that time. And so the story comes to us as St. Nicholas filling the stockings with what we need. Sometimes it's more what we want than what we need. But still, the point is what Nicholas did. And it's the care and the generosity and the protection that he gave his flock, protection from grievous harm, in this case from a degrading way of life. Now, Nicholas is also known as the patron saint and protector of sailors. Many, many times, Nicholas, in imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, calmed storms while people were traveling by boat. And this was true in his life on earth, and it's happened since he passed, where he'd appear in a vision to sailors and calm a storm when they were perishing. And he came to be known as a patron of those who sail. Nicholas was one of the Holy Fathers at the First Ecumenical Council, at which he protected the teaching of the divinity of Jesus Christ against the Arian doctrine. Arius had taught that Jesus was just some kind of creature, some created being, and somehow not equal to the God the Father. And Nicholas said, no, not so. Jesus Christ is God from pre-eternity. He is God in the flesh. Jesus is God come among us as a human person. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are together one God, equal in essence, equal in nature. Nicholas defended this, again caring that his flock would know the truth about Jesus Christ and protecting and preserving them from error so that they might abide in and even bask in the true essence, the true energy of Christ as the living God come among us. Another time, actually multiple times, Nicholas interceded for people who were falsely accused. And that was another one of his gifts. We had a line in our Kentuckian today, protected the innocent from destruction. One of the ways he did that was interceding for people who were falsely accused. He would suddenly show up before a judge. He had this prompting of the Spirit. He would show up before a judge to intercede for a defendant who was in fact innocent. Once even Nicholas appeared before the Emperor Constantine himself. Another time he appeared in a dream to a governor hearing a case. He couldn't make it, it was far away, and God allowed Nicholas's spirit to appear to this governor in a dream. If someone was falsely accused, Nicholas became a patron, bringing care for that person, protecting them from condemnation and protecting them from a destroyed reputation. Now, these stories could be multiplied. We could go on all day long. But this was really how Nicholas lived. I mean, this was his nature. This was his spirit. These were gifts that he received from God. And instead of squandering them, he shared them and let them grow in his heart in order to be a shepherd of his flock. How he was that good shepherd in whom Jesus Christ shined. Now, the final thing is that if we are going to celebrate Nicholas's life and the way he served Christ, then I think we ought to consider how we are called to practice some of that virtue ourselves. You know, not the details, of course. We have our own lives. We have our own situations. God gives us callings that are unique to ourselves. You are called to be you, of course. But we can emulate Nicholas's virtues in doing our particular service in our particular place and time. To emulate the virtues, like to see others as people we can care for, people that we can defend, people that we can protect. We too can be generous in the people that God brings our way. We too can be people of truth, of defenders of what is right and what is real and what is sacred and what is holy. We can stand beside those falsely accused, regardless of how it looks up against us, to stand beside those falsely accused, the innocent accused. We can be sharers of hope. We can help people sail in the storms of their life, helping calm whatever storms might ail our neighbor. And so I think on this feast of the great bishop saint, Saint Nicholas, we have two callings. First is let us remember how the light of Jesus Christ was alive and dynamic in him, in Nicholas. And the second calling, and by his intercessions, to reflect on how that same light of Christ can be alive and dynamic in us. Amen.